Shalom, this is Alex Israel from Alon Shvut, and we are discussing the Ramban on Parshat B'Shalach. And I'm going to begin this week with a question. What should be the first thing that a nation will do? What should be the first thing that Am Yisrael do when they gain their freedom? What's the first step? What's the first step of nation building? I want you to think about this question because we're going to discuss a fabulous argument, a disagreement, a machloket, between Rashi and Ramban regarding to what God did for the Jewish people immediately after they crossed the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea, the Egyptian army are drowned, and now the Jewish people are free. They can go wherever they like, no one's chasing them. What is the first thing that Hashem is going to do for them? Let's read the text of the Torah in Perek Tetvav of Shemot. Vayasa Moshe et Yisrael mi Yamsuf. Moshe caused Israel to travel from the Yamsuf. Vayitzu el midbar Shur ve'elchu shlosh yamim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. They walked 3 days in the wilderness of Shur, and there was no water. Vayavo Marata. They came to a place called Marah. They couldn't drink the water there because it was bitter. That's exactly why it's called Mara, bitter. You cannot drink the water. The people turn to Moshe, they complain and say, what shall we drink? He cries out to God, God showed him a tree. He threw the tree into the water, and the water became sweet. And now, after that story, let's listen to the next few words. Sham samlo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu. There he placed for them a chok, a law, and a judgment, u'mishpat. And there he tested them, and he said, Vayomer, im shamo tishma lekol Hashem elokecha vayashar be'inav ta'aseh v'hazanta lemitzvotav v'shamarta kol chukav kol ha'machalai asher samti b'mitzrayim lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. If you will heed Hashem your God, diligently doing what is upright in His sight, listening to His commandments and keeping all His laws, then I will not bring upon you any of the diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your healer, ki ani Hashem rofecha. What is this mysterious story? On the one hand, God sweetens the waters. First, He made sure that they realized they needed water. He then sweetens the water by throwing in a tree. And sham samlo chok u'mishpat v'sham nisahu. There He gave them a law and a statute, and there He tested them and told them, keep the mitzvot and I'll heal you. What's happening? If we open Rashi, Rashi on that verse says, what is the Chok u'Mishpat? B'mara natan lahem miksat parshiot shel Torah shitasku bahem. At Mara, they started already getting their first halachot, their first Jewish laws. What did they learn here? Shabbat, the mitzvah of Shabbat, Para aduma, the red heifer, Vedinim, and all sorts of societal laws. In other words, this is an opportunity for Moshe to already begin the transmission of Torah. If you want to put it this way, the minute we gain our freedom, what's the first thing we're going to start doing? Number one, Limud Torah. Number two, already starting treading in the classic laws of the Torah. First amongst them, Shabbat. The Ramban has a problem with this. He says, "Vani tameh, I'm surprised. Lama lo piresh kan hachukim ha'ele v'hamishpatim. If it says God gave them a chok, a statute, and a mishpat, a judgment, where is the articulation, where is the detailing of the law?" And he says more than that. In all of Parashiyot, everywhere else, we hear, "Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe limor," or "Tzavet b'nei Yisrael," command the children of Israel. He says, this is what we hear, of the mitzvot in Egypt, the mitzvot which are given at Sinai, in the Ohel Moed, in Aravot Moav. And we don't hear any of that. So where exactly are these laws? Where did they go? Why does the Torah not articulate the specific laws that are being instructed here? The Ramban says that, in fact, we're not dealing with laws of the Torah in the classic sense of the word. And he says, when you read the word chok u'mishpat, it's not chok as in a statute of the Torah, like zot chukat ha-Torah. And mishpat doesn't mean like mishpat as in parashat mishpatim. He says, what they were, and I'll read from the Ramban. He says, Val derech ha-pshat, the pshat is that when ka'asher he'chelu lavo b'midbar ha-gadol v'hanora, when they began to go into the depths of the wilderness, he taught them practices which they should practice until they came back to civilization. Because a practice is called a chok. I might even use the word here, not practice, but protocol. And likewise, he says, the notion of a mishpat. Mishpat is something which is properly measured. Interestingly enough, he says, the word chok, chukot shamayim va'aretz, the laws of nature, the way the world works. Or hatrifeni lechem chuki, give me my daily ration of food. So what is he saying here? He's saying, well, maybe I'll read a few more lines. He says, he warned them, for example, how that they can cope with the harsh conditions of the wilderness, the heat and the thirst, and that they can call out to God for their needs without complaining, that they should learn to love one another and to listen to the elders. He taught them how they can exist in their camp in a state of modesty, and how they should treat new visitors into the camp and other tribes with which they interact. One example he gives is a mitzvah in Devarim where it says, Ki teitzei machane aloivecha v'nishmarta mikol dvara. And it starts giving you the protocols for how to go to the bathroom when you're out in the war camp. And he says, exactly, that's the sort of thing which we mean by chok u'mishpat. So that we shouldn't act like a bunch of savages in the wilderness who will do all sorts of abominations, who will act in a base and barbaric way and will not be embarrassed. But these are the hanhagot, the yishuv hamedinot. This is civilized living. I find this quite fascinating. By the way, why would we possibly say that this has happening at this point in time? Well, if you can imagine, they come to the water and the water is bitter. And probably after 3 days in the wilderness without any water, I can well imagine that as they come over the crest of the hill and they see, you know, a lake ahead of them, everybody runs to the water and wants to take some of the to drink, and suddenly they discover that it's bitter. I imagine the disappointment must have been intense. Moshe sweetens the water, but the question is there enough water for everybody? Maybe some people wanted to wash their animals in the water and that would pollute the water. And therefore, I assume that rules need to be established about how to allot the water. What should be for drinking? What should be for washing? How much can people take? What we might call rationing. Likewise, in the next story, the story of the man, where it tells us very carefully that they couldn't take too much. We see there that everybody should only take what they can eat. Omer lagulgolet, an omer person, mispar nafshotechem, as many people are in your family. And it's very clear there that if everybody decides to hoard the man, there won't be enough food for everybody in the camp. It would be worthwhile recalling at this particular point that we're dealing with a group of slaves. We're dealing with people who have come out of slavery and maybe have dealt with scarcity. They haven't had enough food. You know, sometimes, even in today's world, there are daycare centers for Holocaust survivors. And after they spend the morning there, they find that the people walk out with a roll or a few slices of bread in their pockets. And when a person has experienced a lack, and they've been hungry, and they've suffered, they're not always so generous, they're not always so mindful of other people, because they never know where they've been through a traumatic experience, not knowing where their next meal comes from. And having to think about other people before you actually think about yourself is a very difficult thing to do. So I wonder whether, possibly, this question of Chok u'Mishpat, the idea of creating a society which is caring to all, the idea of creating a situation in which I take just what I need and not more because I need to think about others, was something quite important about the nation building at this point in our history. What I find remarkable about this feature of the Ramban's commentary is that he is taking the word Chok u'Mishpat out of its traditional meaning in the Torah. Traditionally in the Torah, chukim refer to protocols in law or in ritual in the Bet Midrash, mishpatim. And he's going back and reminding us that the Torah has not yet been given. And in fact, we find the notion of rationing in Sefer Bereishit, because it talks about, in Egypt, when there is the famine, it talks about Chok HaKohanim, that the Kohanim had a special food ration. So Chok does refer to the amount of food, and essentially what the Ramban is saying here is, maybe I'll put it this way, Derech Eretz Kadmat LaTorah, that before, the minute we gain our freedom, the first thing we're going to do is not necessarily to jump to Shabbat, is not necessarily to jump to laws of holiness, but it's going to first learn how to live like Bnei Adam, how to live in a civilized manner, how to comport ourselves in fairness and decency to the people around us, and to create a society whereby people can live together without strife and without argument. And the Ramban relates this later on, because of course God says, Im shamoa tishma lekol Hashem elokecha v'yashar b'einecha ta'aseh. In his first reading of this pasuk, he says, if you listen to the voice of God and you do that which is right in his eyes, is a reference to Torah. God's telling them, now I'm giving you the rules of society, but soon I'll be giving you the laws of Torah, so get ready. He's priming them. He's saying, at the moment we're just talking about how to live a life of decency, but eventually, v'shamarta kol chukav, v'ha'azanta l'mitzvotav, you'll need to listen to God's laws and keep his protocols, and if you do that, ani Hashem rofecha, I will heal you. It's here, by the way, that the Ibn Ezra points out that it's fascinating that the first plague in Egypt was the plague of blood, where the water became polluted. And here, the first step after Yam Suf, the water is being healed. God is telling them that people who didn't listen to me, who were unethical, their water was polluted, but you, if you listen to me, I will give you water. And this is a metaphor for all of the good blessings of life that God will bless us with. But that's the first explanation of the Ramban. In his second explanation, he quotes a Mechilta, which says, Im shamot yishma l'kol Hashem elokecha, if you listen to God's voice, and you do, v'hayashar b'inav ta'aseh, and the Mechilta says, this refers to somebody who is honest in business. Ze masa umatan, shekol hanosei v'notein b'emuna. Anybody who is honest and reliable in his business dealings, v'ruach habriot nochahemenu, and people look at him as an upstanding, honest individual, maleh alav hakatuv ki'ilu kiyem kol ha'Torah kula. The Torah treats him as if he has kept the entire Torah. And how does this relate to the words of the verse? Because it said, Hayashar be'inav ya'aseh. And later on the Torah it says, Va'asita hayashar v'hatov. Do the just and right thing. So, whereas Rashi sees the first stage of freedom as our first steps into Torah and mitzvot, the Ramban insists that there is a layer of basic civilization which is more fundamental still, And we have that in our phraseology, Derech Eretz Kadmana Torah. The way we conduct ourselves with common decency, with fairness and honesty, is the most basic layer that we have to be civilized human beings. And only afterwards, when the Torah builds on top of that, can we really become what we're told at Har Sinai, a holy nation. Then we'll move to the higher levels, which are those of holiness. Thank you very much. Have a great week.